reminder of our future. It just makes you look forward to it, doesn't it? I tell you, we've got a lot to be thankful for. God's grace, we don't deserve it. And what a home we have in heaven. Dale picks these songs, and he doesn't know exactly the verses. He does contact me, and he'll say, you know, Jeff, what are you speaking on? And he asked me for the verses. But what I mean by that is he did not ask me this week, as we all understand. But those songs that he picked were just, I mean, they're just spot on with what we're going to talk about today. And face to face, what will it be like to see Jesus? I mean, we want to continue our study today on heaven and just keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the Lord as we go through this life. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we open up His Word. I pray that His Word will encourage us today. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know what kind of month you've had. If you're like everybody else, you've got problems. Join the club. You've struggled with sin. You've struggled with doubt, fear, anxiety. And boy, we come here today and we say, Lord, I want to look at You. I want to worship You. And I need a word from You, God. And I pray that today God's word will encourage us, that it'll give you hope, that it'll give you comfort and peace, because we all need it, don't we? Let's ask the Lord for help. God, we are so excited about our future. Life is so short, Lord. We're only here for, it's like a shadow. It's like a flower. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And boy, what a future we have. We'll be with You when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And Lord, we look forward to seeing Jesus, who's our Savior. And Lord, we want to hear a word from You now, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. We've all got struggles. We've all had a week. We've all had a month. We've all had a year. And life just keeps trucking, and it just keeps coming. And Lord, we need You. And Lord, You want to give us hope and peace, and You want to comfort us. And I pray that today's message, Lord, will do that for all of us as we look forward to heaven. And so we just ask for Your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. We've been looking at heaven, and we will continue to do so. I want to start off by saying again that not everybody is going to heaven. And that's something that, again, is very sobering as we think of friends and loved ones who may know about Jesus but don't know Him as Savior. They know facts about Jesus. Maybe they've gone to church all their life. Maybe they've been baptized or tried to live a good life, but they don't know Jesus as Savior. Well, they have a future as well, and it is not heaven. It is hell. God must punish sin. And so as we get into this, I want to talk to believers mostly, but if you're here today and you're not sure whether you're on your way to heaven, may these talks just say, man, I want to go there. And I need a Savior. And I pray that you will trust the Savior. And so you can be assured of your salvation and of heaven one day. Let's read Revelation 21, starting at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea, no ocean. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This is the dwelling place of God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. God's going to live with mankind. And he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Look at the next chapter over, 22 verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. We just sang, face to face with Christ my Savior. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So when we think about death and what is coming next, well, what's coming next is called eternal life. Life will exist forever. And the Bible says that, Jesus says in John 17, that when we think about eternal life is very simply that we know him, that we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is what eternal life will be about, is knowing God. Knowing God. And so, what will it be like? That's kind of the theme of today, is being with God. If this is what eternal life is all about, is being with our Savior, what will that be like to be with him, to know him? This is what eternal life's all about. So we want to look today at seven things that we'll try to quickly brush through of what will it be like to see God, to know God. What will that be like? Well, the first thing is we will see God. Now, what on earth does that mean? What does it mean? Well, Job said a very interesting thing in the Old Testament. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he's going to stand on the earth. I know that. And after this body has been destroyed, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my body, his new flesh, right, his resurrected body, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. We're going to have real bodies, resurrected bodies. And I will see God. It'll be me, I, and not another. Oh, how my heart yearns within me. Job says, I can't wait. He says, when I die, I'm going to be resurrected, and I will see God. And we just read that they will see his face. Well, wait a minute. How are we going to see God? How is that possible? How can we see God? I mean, God's invisible. The scripture says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. He's the only God who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. We can't even get close. Whom no one has seen or can see. How are we going to see him? And yet we just sang face to face. Revelation just said, we will see God. Well, didn't people in the Old Testament see God? Well, if you remember, Jacob wrestled with a man. And as he was wrestling with this man, he realized, and the man touched his hip socket, if you remember, and he went limping along the way. And he said, oh my goodness, he named this place Peniel. He said, I've seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So in the Old Testament, this is an example of what's called a theophany, or some would say a Christophany. It means that sometimes in the Old Testament, people saw God in an actual human form. It was a special revelation of God, and they, in this case, Jacob wrestled with God. It was God in a special form. It was a human form, an actual human form. And yet, again, we see that no one has ever seen God. So there must be, we got to understand what are they looking at here? Because God is a spirit. God is invisible. Well, what about Moses? Didn't Moses see God? Remember this verse. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Well, this was in the cloud. This was in the cloud, and Moses would talk to God. And some would say this was a theophany. But others might say, well, this is just anthropomorphic language. It means, it's like when we say God has his arm, God has a right hand. Well, God is a spirit. God doesn't have, he's invisible. He doesn't have human, it's just ways, and we speak in human ways to understand God. When we say Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, well, God doesn't have a right hand. It's way for us to understand in human form who God is, this invisible God. Okay, so in the Old Testament, sometimes God would take on a form and they would wrestle with him, so to speak. Jacob did. Sometimes there's language like Moses would speak to God like face to face as one would speak to a friend. And sometimes that's just a way for us to understand a close relationship. It's a close relationship. Yeah, but didn't Moses just a little bit later say this to God? Hey, God, I really want to see your glory. God, please, can I see your glory? And God says, whoa. No. He says, as it says here, the Lord answers, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, but you can't see my face because no one can see me and live. So God says, look, if you want to see my glory, okay, I'll let you see my glory. I'll let you see a little bit of my glory, but you can't see all of my glory. You can't see my face because my glory is too bright for you. You can't handle it. And so God placed Moses in the cleft of the rock. He covered him. He covered him with his hand, I should say. He covers him in his hand. And his glory passed by. And God says, you're going to see my back, but you can't see my face. It's too much. You can't handle it. So Moses does see God. He does. In some degree, he saw God's glory. He didn't see all of it. God says, you can't handle the front. You can't handle it. I'll let you see my back. So some people wrestled with God. God was in a form. God shows them their glory. So what about us one day? We just sang a song, face to face in all his glory. One day we're going to see God's face. In the Old Testament, God said, you can't handle it. In our bodies, in these bodies, it's very hard for us to be able to see God's glory. Now, remember on the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God, Jesus transformed himself, and they saw his glory. Now, it was, I don't know if it was all of it, but they did see in some shape, form, or fashion God's glory. Peter, James, and John. So what about us? What about us when we get to heaven? Catch this prayer that Jesus prayed. Father, I want the people in Durham in Grove Park Chapel that you have given me to be with me where I am to see my glory. The glory that you have given me. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer when he prayed for us. He says, God, the ones you've given me, I want them to see me. I want them to see my glory. So Revelation says we're going to see his face. And the Old Testament guy says, you can't see my face. That's too much glory for you. You can see my back, but you can't see my face. When we get to heaven, we're going to see his face. We're going to see his glory. In Revelation 21, it says the new Jerusalem is going to be very, very bright. In fact, it's going to be so bright in the new Jerusalem, there won't be, you won't need the sun, the sunlight. You won't need the sun, which is very beautiful today, by the way. Beautiful day. We won't need the sun when we get to heaven in the new Jerusalem, because the glory of God gives us the light, all the light we'll need. So we're going to see his face. We're going to see God's glory. Again, from it seems like we're going to see, as we sang, in all of his glory. I can't be dogmatic by that, but it seems we will see his glory. That's what Jesus prayed. And the light of his presence is going to, we will see his glory in some shape, form, or fashion, for sure. But we'll also see Jesus. How are we going to see his face? We're going to see Jesus. That's how we're going to see God. Anyone who's seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. The Son has made God the Father known. When Christ appears, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. When we get there to heaven, when we cross from this life to the next, the old song says we will long to see our Savior first of all. I want to see Jesus. We'll want to see our Savior. And we'll see him. We'll see his face. We'll see the glory of God. It'll be an amazing thing. That'll be the first thing that we'll want to do, because we don't deserve any of that. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. So we'll long to see our Savior. We just sang, Dale picked out that great hymn, Face to Face. Here's another old hymn. Look at this one, one verse. The angel's going to sound, and he's going to shout his coming. And the sleeping will rise. This is the rapture. From their slumbering place, my dad, maybe somebody in your family. And those that remain, if it's us, the Lord may come today. And those that remain shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him face to face. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him face to face, who? Our Savior and our Lord. The second part of being with God and seeing God is we're going to worship him. Just being there is all of God's grace, because we don't deserve it. We're going to honor God the way he deserves to be honored. You know, we try to worship him here, but it's feeble, isn't it? It's feeble. I'll just talk for myself. I have a hard time. I'm distracted, right? In heaven, we're not going to be distracted. I'm full of sin. Won't have no sin to worry about there. Our worship won't be stale in heaven. It's not going to get old. There won't be, from what I can gather, any formal church services in heaven. Like here we're having a meeting, you know, I have to end here in 20 minutes, and we sing for a certain amount of time, Don't know if that's going to happen in heaven. There's no temple in heaven. There'll be singing. There's singing in heaven now. Revelation 5, they're singing right now in the intermediate heaven. So it seems like that'll be a carryover. Be singing. But worship will be different. It won't be, we got to go to church to have worship service. No. Worship will be all the time. It'll be very spontaneous. Something will happen and we'll worship. For instance, in Revelation 5, when the Lamb takes the scroll, all of a sudden people start praising God. That'll be our experience in the new heaven. We'll just be doing life and we'll say, wow, man, I gotta praise God. And we'll worship Him. It'll be spontaneous. It won't be, hey, we got church service at 11 o'clock. None of that. It'll be all the time. Praising God just through life, the way we should be doing it now. Right? We'll be doing it then. We'll worship God while we're eating. We'll worship God while we're playing. What do you mean, eating and playing? Well, that's the stuff we're going to be doing for eternity. We're going to be living life, working. We're going to have jobs. We're going to be serving the Lord. We'll be reigning with Him. We're going to be doing life. And so all throughout, what we should be doing now, we're going to do it perfectly then. We're going to worship God. It'll be real. It'll be genuine. Now, there's sometimes when you look back in your life when you just praise God and sometimes tears come to your eyes and maybe singing a song and you're just thinking about the words and you're just entering into worship. But it could be just thinking about God and thinking about an experience. But boy, this will happen all the time. Just looking around at the perfect earth that we're going to be on. No more sin. There'll be no more death. The trees will be absolutely perfect again. Everything will be just right. The mountains, the flowers, and it's going to just cause us to worship God. Right? It'll be just part of our DNA. We're going to see God, and then we're going to worship Him. It's just going to flow right out. Not structured. It'll be very spontaneous. It's what we should be doing now. This is a foretaste, right, of heaven. As we go through life, we need to be looking at God, the way He manifests Himself to us. We should be observing and just causing us to stop and pause and just direct our attention to the Creator and worship Him. The third thing, we're going to see God, we're going to worship God, and then we're going to live with Him. It's not that we're going to see Him and say, hey, Jesus, good to see you, man. Hey, stop by sometime. Don't be a stranger, Jesus. Hey, take care. Bye-bye now. No, we're going to be with Him. God is going to live with us. We just read this verse. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Heaven is going to come down to earth. The new Jerusalem will come down to earth. Where God is will come down to where man will be. And we're going to be with Him. He will dwell with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them. Jesus said, hey, man, I'm going away. He's talking to us, and I'm making a place for you. He's doing that right now. Jesus has been working on the place that he's got for us for 2,000 years. It's going to be a special place. He says that where I am, there you will be. We're going to be with him. He won't be a stranger. He will not be a visitor. We will have complete access to God. The Bible talks about how we will enter in through the gates of the city. There's going to be these 12 gates. And we'll get into this as we go along in our study of heaven. What will the new Jerusalem be like? Well, we'll go in and out of these gates. The new Jerusalem will be like the capital city of earth. And that's where our God's building us a place. And we'll have access to God. The throne will be there. We'll talk more about that at another time, but we'll have access to God. You know, when we think about God and heaven, we won't have to worry about hiding from God. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? And God came to spend some time with them. Adam, where are you at, man? Adam was hiding behind that tree. We won't have to worry about that. We won't have to worry about sins because there's no condemnation. Our sins have been taken care of on the cross when Jesus died. Praise the Lord. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, there's no condemnation to fear. There'd be no barriers in our relationship. You know, in human relationships, there's always something. Right? I have to apologize all the time in my, you know, to Kara all the time. I'm always apologizing. I mean, I mess up all the time. There'll be no barriers. There'll be no skeletons in our closet. I hope he don't know about this. It'll be a perfect relationship as we're with God. We'll be totally relaxed in his presence. No fear. With God and totally at ease. Will we have individualized attention from Jesus? Well, you got to understand that Jesus is both God and man. And while he was on earth, he was only in one place at a time, right? Jesus went on the sea, walked on the Sea of Galilee. He went to this mountain, he went to Jerusalem for the festival, for the feast. Jesus was only in one place at a time. That's because he took on a body. But that didn't mean he stopped being God. Because he is God as well. He is the God-man. So because he is finite, he's a man, while he was on earth, he was at one place at one time. But God is also omnipresent. He is infinite. And so Jesus can be at multiple places all at once. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, right? So how did that work when Jesus first came down to earth? Well, possibly, maybe, regarding his omnipresence, maybe during, because the Bible in Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he took off, right? He put some of his glory aside and he became a man. He humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, right? And so he placed some of his attributes on hold, shall we say, omnipresence being one of them. He said, okay, I'm going to take this off and I'm going to become a man, which means I can only be at one place at one time. And so while he was on earth, it seemed like his humanity trumped his deity. So if that's the case, perhaps in heaven, regarding, I said omniscience. Typo, that should say omnipresence. Good job, Rickard. Regarding his omnipresence, his deity will trump his humanity. And what we mean by that is, he'll be everywhere. So when I'm talking to Jesus, You're talking to Jesus somewhere else. I mean, we're just trying to figure it out, right? We'll get to heaven. It'll be perfect. We won't have any complaints. But we know that Jesus is omnipresent. And so maybe Jesus will be everywhere at one time. I don't understand how God will pull that off, because that's God. But we'll be with him. We'll be with him. Number four. Ruling with God. When we're in heaven, we're going to rule with God. Now, he's the boss. He's God. He's in charge. But you know what? We're the heirs. We're the heirs to the kingdom. And the Bible says that we will reign forever and ever. They will reign. That's us. We're going to be co-reigning with Jesus. We are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus. Remember when we stand before the Lord and we go to the judgment seat, he's going to give us crowns? Crowns are a symbol of royalty. Crowns are a symbol of, well, being kings and queens. And kings have dominion and authority, and so we'll be giving crowns, and that's part of how we're, just, I guess, symbolic in a sense of our rule with Jesus. We'll have our crowns. That means that while we're ruling with Jesus, we'll have meetings with Jesus.
Boardroom meeting with Jesus, room 42.
And we'll go meet as we rule. We'll have conversations about ruling the kingdom. Strategies about this earth and the planets and the galaxies. We're going to rule him, y'all. We're going to rule with Jesus. We're going to plan with him. Maybe there'll be stargazing for kids and we're in charge of it. I don't know. That's a whole nother topic. How old will we be? A lot of questions. Maybe there won't be kids. We'll all be the same age. A lot of questions about that. But we'll be ruling with Jesus. Number five, there's seven. I'm looking at the clock. One of the things that comes up some is, well, God is a giver of many gifts, and sometimes we long to be in heaven, and some people might think, well, shouldn't we all just be thinking about Jesus, 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 Jesus? Yes. But at the same time, as this verse says, I mean, who else are we going to be with? Of course we're going to be with Jesus. Absolutely. But God has given us, he's going to give us so much in heaven that we can long for. And just thinking about God is he's going to continue to give us things that again, we don't deserve. He's making a place for us. This is going to be an individualized place. There'll be streets of gold that we'll have, not potholes with asphalt. We're going to see our family again. We'll see our friends again. There'll be peace, no sin. Boy, he's going to just lavish so much peace, the peace of God. No condemnation. These are all things that he gives us. And so some have thought, well, when we get to heaven, will these things be a distraction to where I'm not thinking about Jesus? I'm just so thankful I'm going to see my dad again. So are these things going to take away from the praise of God? Right? That's the question. Well, I think what we got to understand is God's gifts, when we get there, they're not going to compete with him for our attention. God's gifts aren't going to, you know, pull us away from God. In fact, God is the one who knows what he's doing, and he's giving these things to us. In fact, they show us how much he loves us, right? So, in fact, what God gives is actually going to cause us to worship him even more. God's gifts that He gives us will draw us closer to God as we worship Him to say thank you. So if you catch yourself longing for heaven, you're really longing for God. Here's an illustration. Whoops. Must be coming up in number 7. I'll just save it for just a second. Number 6 or 7 of these. We'll be married to Jesus. What will it be like to be with God? We'll be married to Jesus. We'll be the bride of Christ. So people who are married live together, right? There is an intimacy. There's a closeness. We will be close. We'll have our relationship with Jesus will not be distant. We'll be close to Jesus. We'll be able to talk with Jesus and feel secure in our relationship with God. Here's, I guess, what I was trying to say. Number 7. If you find yourself longing for heaven, and maybe you say, but dog, I really should be longing for Jesus. Well, you really are, because they go together. They go together. Wherever heaven is where God is. So look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. All these people were living by faith when they died. They were longing for what? They were longing for a better country, a heavenly home. Therefore, God is not ashamed. He's not beating them up, saying, wait a minute, you shouldn't be longing for heaven. God doesn't beat them up. God's not ashamed to be called their God, for He's the one that's prepared the city for them. They go together. Abraham was looking forward to what? To the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. So if you find yourself longing for heaven, don't beat yourself up, because you're really longing for God. Because that's where God is. And God is the giver of all these things that you're looking forward to. You're really longing for God. God wants us to be excited about heaven. That's where He's going to be. And He alone is worthy. Don't misunderstand me. We should be worshiping God. He is the number one thing. But don't feel bad if you find yourself longing for heaven. They go together. They go together. God wants you. He told us, man, hey, I'm building a place for you. Hot dog, I can't wait. That's what He wants us to feel. God is our inheritance. That is the number one thing we should be looking forward to. No question. Don't misunderstand, but heaven is our home. We're citizens of heaven. I was going to tell you the example, and I forgot. Let me just, thought I had it on my slides. Let's say you get sick, and a friend comes and brings you a meal. Which one of these has met your need? The meal or the friend? Well, without the friend, you won't have the meal, right? And if you don't have the meal, you know, that's okay. You've always got your friendship. But God is the one who is, so your friend is the ultimate thing that meets your need. It's not the meal, it's the friend who brings the meal. Same way it is with God. God's the giver of all these gifts, but they're from Him. And even if we didn't have those things, we still got God. So, God is still what we long for. But He's the giver of many, many good things. And so we look forward to heaven as being one of them. Let's conclude. Are you going to see Jesus? You know, the Bible says that every person will see Jesus. They will bow. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But guys, today is the day of salvation. You don't want to be made to bow when right now you can do it by choice. Because if you do it by choice, that means we'll see you in heaven. But if God has to make you bow, which every knee will bow, that means that you're going to hell. because you never bowed the knee here on earth when you had a chance. And so when you stand before the Lord, He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. And you will bow the knee. But you can do it today and say, God, I'm bowing the knee now because I see my need. And you died on the cross for my sin. And you can bow the knee now and say, Jesus, you are God. And I trust you to forgive my sins. That's how you know you're going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? Have you bowed the knee to Jesus? Do it today. Guys, set your minds on heaven. Set your minds on things above. Set your minds on Jesus. Face to face, I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him pretty soon, by and by. Keep your mind here. We're living in a world. Israel's getting attacked. Keep your eyes on that. Israel is the key to everything. Keep your eyes on Israel. Israel just got attacked last night at 3 o'clock their time. Keep your eyes on Israel. It may be very soon when we'll be face to face with Jesus. The last thing I just want to add to you is we saw here that we're going to be married to Jesus. What are we going to wear when we're there? Now catch this. The Bible tells us we're going to be wearing fine linen because fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. You're not saved by good works. No. But God wants us, after we are saved, after we've accepted His free gift of salvation, He wants us to live for Him. And so as we live for Him, we are actually, evidently, making our wedding attire. Because the righteous deeds of the saints is what we'll be wearing. So right now, we're making our wedding attire. And as the man who I got this illustration from said, let's make sure we're not scantily clad. Let's make sure we're not underclothed. What I mean by that is when we look around, we want to be there worshiping God in all of His glory. We don't want to have a life that has not been lived for Christ. We want our fine linen to be full of examples of what God has done through us. What God has done through us. We've got a great future. Face to face, we will be with the Lord. Keep your mind on heaven because that's where Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord, we do look forward to heaven. Lord, because heaven is where you are. And we are told that we're going to see your face. We're going to see your glory. And it'll be a moment that we don't deserve. But boy, we sure look forward to it. Lord, it seems like it's very soon that you will come again. But Lord, our life is short as it is. I mean, we're not promised tomorrow. We could all die today. So God, it's right around the corner. So Lord, I do want to pray for us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Keep our eyes on heaven. And Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, that's just, they're interested, they think they're okay, they're not sure though, they hope they're going to go to heaven, Lord, I pray that they'll want to get that solved to where they'll know that by trusting in you, they'll be on their way to heaven. Lord, speak to them, God. Today is the day of salvation. So encourage us this week, Lord. Some of us have had some rough months and we're hurting. And we need some encouragement. Lord, I pray that just thinking of you and seeing you in heaven will just encourage us and give us motivation to keep living for you. So give us a good week now. In Jesus' name, amen.